everyone. It's really lovely to be in a pub that's upstairs, because where I'm staying, there's no upstairs pubs. It's nice to be in the city for that reason. So I'm just going to fly through some poems here. I'm not going to talk too much. I'm going to start off with just that we have a workshop up in Ennis Diamond, and one of the poets kept coming up really long, long poems, so we decided to have a season of haikus, just to get rid of that. So the first haiku I came up with was kind of a comment on that. In the gulag, he rolled tobacco poems to make cigarettes. Now flying on, poem from Dublin. Little birds born on the edge of town batter the air, swoop corners, gather on leafy heights, sneer and chirp, fluttering tiny feathers. Puffing up, they sing a scatter of notes across a graffitied landscape as bareheaded bikers race by a tattooed wall. A burnt-out car forms a bridge astride the canal, an improvised bouncy castle seesawing as a splatter of tiny birds speckles the sky. The next one is from Saudi Arabia. And there wasn't a whole lot to do in Saudi Arabia, but I found lots to do, as you can. But one thing was going to the tailor. So this is about him. Razzie the tailor. Razzie tailors from a shop the size of a walk-in closet. Rows of dresses hang like skins of headless women, trimmed with red and yellow roses, smelling of frankincense that burns constantly in the narrow street where haggling, robed men cannot touch a single woman. Razzie smiles and pierces the skin. The next poem is from New York and it's called Pride. It's not about being gay or anything, but when I read this, my friend was saying, oh yeah, pride and gays and stuff. So you'll hear it in the poem. So here we go. Pride. The lions outside New York City's public library gaze, chin proud, smug, looking over the people streaming up the steps. Inside hallowed halls, I gaze upward. Uncle Sam, 1916. Looks like a tall fairground alternative. Lived a wild life. His chiseled face, a wisp of goatee, at odds with the red and white stripy pants, held secure under the elastic arch of his foot, as if he was afraid of his pants legs rising to betray his skinny shins. As I leave, the guard door, the door guard asks to look in my bag. It held nothing much. And the next one is again from New York. Gianluca takes my picture. The camera unflinching portrays my unsmiling face, framed with straight locks made so by Mimi in the Bronx as we listen to three tenors crooning. The sign around his neck said free portrait. Paid to hang around like a street guy, collects faces, maybe souls, exhibits in elite European centres of cutting-edge art, met the right people, got lucky. We marvel at New York, the energy, the freedom, the buzz. Europe, we agree, is at its best here. And then the final one from New York, this is about a director. Mary, she was in Dublin back in the 70s, so a lot of people knew her. She's still around, she's still directing. Mary Tierney, Claire name. Okay. Mary, quite contrary, on the contrary, quiet, focused, all seeing, all hearing, two ears, one mouth, sifting through actors' fumbling lines. A chair, a mirror, a door, an empty frame. Breathing, moving, searching. Magic, magical, magique, triac. Now you've got it, you can fly with it on a channel tuned just to you. Serving it up since Aristotle was a pup and gave the okay. Drama, high art, comedy, low, bro, just a trick of words, because it all happens anyway. Triac, magic, magical, magic. New York's got it all. And the next one is, this might make me sad, doesn't it? But I'll try. Too late now, I've said the sad word. It's from my uncle who died 20 months ago, he was 90. So, and my cousin played at the grave, so here we go. Playing Matty's spirit up and away, silvery notes rise, flit and dive away, away. The turned earth pulling a plough with Dolly the mare, the sweet smell of summer hay, milky tea in a beer bottle gulped down, the dregs tossed onto stubbled grass, leaning back on a soft haycock, one elbow under, legs stretched, ankles crossed. Horses, dogs and football for later on. Stories of lazy cows and hand-spitten deals and more. Passed on now to the next gang and away, away. Now the next one is about Jesse's dog and something bold that he did. It's back to haikus. So, see if you can figure out from the poem in the shop up in Ennistown, in the salmon bookshop. Small white dog intrudes, big black dog cocks his hind leg, pees baptismally. He actually peed on the little dog, yeah.
He didn't, he did. He's being friendly.
Fake news, fake news.
This take.
Just a bit of
slander.
Osmosis.
So, the next is about these other little creatures that were living in the house for a little while, but they came from the bank next door, we reckon. They used to come in and die on the floor. But anyway. So, here we go. Blue poisoned grain. A gift for sharp, greedy mouths, calling cards, little shits. And a final haiku about the idea of ideas being imprinted from other places and copied, and what's really authentic. So, here we go. Your self-importance expanding in the cheese press, faint hipster copy. And now, let's see, how am I doing for time? Have I gone over time?
No.
Alright. Now the next, I was reading on Fire, I was reading Fire and Fury, that book about Trump, and it was great fun. And there were lots of words in it, and it kind of reminded me of when I was a kid and we used to have the Reader's Digest magazine. There were all these, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And there'd be all these words, and you'd be like, what is that word? And of course, no one would ever know, and you'd never remember. So some of the words were a bit like that. So the first one is called hongling. And does anyone know what hongling is? Okay, it means to barter. That's a cool word. I'll only explain one word, which will be in the title. I think the rest you'll know. Okay, and these are sonnets. So there's a little group of sonnets together from this book. I'm reading it. Yeah, here I am hungling, oppressed by your cupidity. I could avoid all this bungling if not for their stupidity. Does it not itself praise acumen? Well, that's a lot to expect. These idiots are rich men. They pay hard to genuflect. Their fall from decency was rapid. On silk sheets they slide. Their defenses were so vapid, they had many crimes to hide. The noose tightens, alarms are ringing. By the neck, they'll come out swinging. The next one is called Rashomon, the Rashomon effect, and it's from a Japanese film back in the 50s, where four people witnessed the same event and they all saw it totally differently. A murder, I think. So here we go with Rashomon effect. The effect of it was a Rashomon. To the silent, it was their bête noir, who consume news with buttered popcorn. You do or don't know who you are. Covered up with brave encomiums, on you stride a fabulous, deftly ignoring all the sins, or who's a revista on the hit list. Instead, you serve the finest wine, a swerving, wily sycophant. Despite the pose, remain sanguine, ignore the sweating elephant. Children's blood roars, a rich cadence, when on their corpses rich men dance. And now the final one from that. This one is called Deep Sixth, which is a reference to being 6 foot under, to bury something. He glided in sylph-like, weedy voice, silver-spooned, desperate for a price hike. His banker's lawyer swooned. Desperate, seeking opprobrium, salsa dancing in arbitration. His mission met with zero sum, pulled the plug on the culmination. You see, the action is actionable, but others say rebellion. Blind loyalty is fashionable, so is breeding helium. Noblesse oblige is all the rage, just wait until they're in a cage. Now, we'll come to the end from, pardon me, from this book here, home about another of Jesse's dogs. Back in the 90s, I used to walk this dog years ago, and it was always like the stress was just too much. And when I first went to a workshop, and it was run by Rita Ann Higgins, just to tell you a little bit about that, you know, she's one of Jesse's poets from years back, and she's still writing, and she's fantastic. But at the workshop, you know, she was very nice, and people came in every week with their poems, and one woman kept coming with the same poem and she wouldn't change it, and about knitting in the attic. And eventually Rita, after 3 weeks, she goes, look, I'm just saying, could you just, you know, maybe write about your life or yourself or something? And the woman looked up in a exasperation and she says, but this is my life. And Rita looked at her and went, aye, you're all shite. So after that, if Rita said, you know, go over there and stand on the window and sing, yes, Rita, well, anything you want. But also, you learn how people know how to write poems, and they know when you're spoofing. Which... anyway, so this poem came out of it. Zach. Hollow belly, glistening tooth and hound, streaks across a busy road, golden hair, points in one direction, loping, stretching, gathers in, avoids the car, through the gate, hurtles like a pinball, a speck, then a gallop, tears into the sea, explosion of water, canine whoops of delight. And I'm going to finish with this one. This is another one from my time in Saudi Arabia. We'd all be getting up to as much devilment as possible. And it's called Tiny Green Fruits from Lebanon. From a garden drenched with mountain rains, a delicacy, sharp, bitter, juicy, gleaming green skin. A precious cargo carried in a plastic container. They sit in the fridge, dewy. I take one between my teeth, explore its hard, smooth surface with my tongue. Mountain man, bitter chocolate eyes, hiding many secrets, tilts my chin. I bite and taste the bitter juice. Thank you.